to the Mop Show. I'm Mason on Business Startups. Q here. This is how I do things. Big ideas for small budgets. Let's get to it.
So, more talk in the news this weekend about how retail has got to get smarter for the next couple of years. British Retail Consortium said this weekend in the press that retail should be more of an experience, and it's not an experience yet, and retail stores aren't embracing that fully. So you know how I'm talking about in other podcasts, I think it's really important to become an omni-channel retailer. One of the, let's give you a quick example. Retail isn't dead, you still use loads of bricks and mortar brands. Apple is a bricks and mortar brand. They happen to also have a telecommunications system, but they have amazing stores. And we all know if you go into an Apple shop, it just looks like a piece of art. I mentioned it in a previous podcast about the one in Silicon Valley. So retail works as a system, as a model, and there are footfall and there's customers and there's reasons to go to stores. But you can't just blanket suggest that everyone should go to every store, because there's loads of crap brands out there. What I want to talk about today is, are you missing the obvious? Now, when I talk about are you missing the obvious, I live in Southend in Essex, and a friend of mine growing up, Taz, or Tanir, his dad had a couple of Wimpy franchises, still got them dotting around, and we happen to have quite a plethora of Wimpy for our town. Wimpy is a big brand from back in the 80s and the 70s, I think it's the 70s as well, and it was like McDonald's on a plate. And it wasn't overpriced, it was perhaps a little bit more money than McDonald's, I don't really know. This is the point. I don't know what Wimpy is now. Wimpy has this retro charm and they are not embracing it. So I'm 36 years old, I've got my kid, I've walked past Wimpy, and I am a generation that thinks Wimpy's kind of quirky cool, but they don't know it. And that isn't great if you have a business, because I would take my kid there in a couple of years' time when he's ready for a burger. When he's all psyched up, pumped, ready for a burger. I'd definitely take him there. My grandpa used to take me to a Wimpy in Southend when I was a kid. But I don't know what the brand stands for. Now, does every brand have to stand for something? Well, I think if you're trying to cut through a very busy market where you can get a burger down the pub, beer and a burger, Wetherspoons, you can get, you know, cool burgers from GBK, you can get gourmet burgers from a vegan place, whatever. Things have a box that we put them in, and we like to put things in certain boxes. Oh, I want to go there. They've got, you know, this thing or this thing. They do this. This place does halloumi fries or whatever. Wimpy doesn't seem to have changed its brand in the last 20, 30 years. And it's a real shame, because I think they're onto a massive winner. I think it's the easiest marketing job in the world. They've got goodwill. They probably haven't got an extensive social media footprint. I'm going to actually check it out while we're on the podcast. Let's have a look. So let's have a look for what Wimpy did. What is Wimpy saying? Let's check out. At Wimpy. What brilliant. It must be the most amazing Instagram name as well. At Wimpy UK. This is ridiculous. So Wimpy, they've been going since 1954. Their strapline is serving conversation starters since 1954. I'm sorry, but what the F does that mean? Do you know how many followers they've got? 1,954. That's incredible. They post fairly, how many posts they got? 298 posts. So this is pretty, it looks like maybe they've just got into this. Recent posts, they're reposting, 106 likes. It says a lot when you have a brand that was started in 1954 that has a product that can appeal to a very wide market. And my own Instagram, my business, which is a very niche product, e-cigarettes, been going for 5 years, has got magnitudes more followers. Hey, aren't I great? No, okay, let's put that a better version. I've got a mate who's got 12,000 followers and she just stands there in her underwear. So this is bad from a brand perspective to try and reach forward in the modern era. But if they portrayed the whole slightly dinery, slightly chintzy American, bad American diner, and had a purpose, had a being. I mean, McDonald's on a plate, well, we can do that. We get Uber Eats, get McDonald's delivered to my house and I can put it on a plate. They do need to find that their own charm. And their own charm is that retro revival, Wimpy, just as, you know, like back in the 80s. And I think there's some real value in that. I watched The Bandersnatch recently. I watched The Bandersnatch after a recommendation on the Facebook. I watched Bandersnatch, the Black Mirror pick an ending movie. Yeah, I managed to finish it in 50 minutes the first time round. Everyone just kept dying. I watched it again and I managed to get to last about 2 hours. But I watched that, and it's dated in like the 80s, early 80s, and they go through the high street and they go to W.H. Smith's, and it's got the records in alphabetical order. We used to flip through them. I don't know if they had the sound booths in there, but it just reminded me of something, a charm of my childhood. And I think everyone has the charm of their childhood, generally speaking. Some people have a terrible childhood, but the vast majority of us get very nostalgic as we get older and we get into our 30s, 40s and 50s, and we have that charm of the childhood. So one of my key brands that was charm of my childhood was Wimpy. And I am disposable income, upwardly mobile, and I am having kids now. I'm having all the kids. Got one child, one baby, and as are other people of my age group. And we're now going to be taking our kids out on a Sunday afternoon. I was looking for a waffle to a local waffle place called Creme, in Leon C. In Essex. Very nice. I think I've just given my child a sugar overdose. It looks like a slob in the pram. But the point I'm getting at is that we're that age now where we take our kids out for something to do. You know, me with the wife, popping down somewhere. And we'd go to Wimpy if Wimpy wasn't just looking probably exactly like it did in the 1980s without any real love and any still real style. It wouldn't take them a great deal, but they could absolutely win. They could win big time playing on the, champions of our childhood, playing on the 80s revival and embracing it and actually starting to think, hang on, what is Wimpy? Wimpy is a nostalgic memory of another era. Wimpy doesn't have to be fast food on a plate, because it's not posh fast food, because posh fast food comes in a variety of other different ways, like sushi is probably posh fast food. They should play on the nostalgia, the memory, the ideas that it invokes in you when you go to a Wimpy. I remember going with my grandpa, and I remember going with my dad to McDonald's for the first time, and it was the first time he'd been to McDonald's, and he couldn't even handle it, and he probably wasn't anywhere near as busy and as raucous as it probably is these days. And this was back in the 90s. But going with my grandpa to this really slow-paced burger joint, Wimpy, and just, we'll have a, with his Central European accent, we'll have a, I can't do a good impression, it'd be terrible, and I can't even, it was just seeing him struggle to ask for burgers and fries, But I used to go there on a Wednesday with my grandma and my grandpa, and it would be a treat for me, and we'd walk down there to Westcliff Hampton Court Road and we'd have our hamburger and chips, or the Bender in a Bun. I mean, they had a burger called Bender in a Bun. It's memories, and that memories can sell. When we buy something, we buy a vision, we buy a dream, we get sold on the sizzle and not on the sausage. You ever hear a marketing phrase from marketing teachers and they do the sizzle and the sausage phrase? I couldn't really understand it until I got into business. The point being is this: you have a sausage and it's just a sausage, and you could buy a sausage because you're looking for a sausage. You put it in the pan and it starts to smell and pop, and the flavours and the scents in the air, and the tss, and it invokes breakfast and feelings of satiation and cooked breakfast and sitting around a table. It's the sizzle that sells the sausage. The sausage can sell a sausage on its own to a very specific market, but you put the sizzle in and more people buy it. So that's an old marketing term. What's the sizzle? What's the sausage? And I used to hate the phrase because it's really annoying, but I didn't really understand it. I used to have a teacher in my business lessons going, when I said before, I've never done proper business education. I did it briefly at school when I was like 14. And you go, what's the sizzle there? What's the sizzle? Anyway, so Wimpy can sell you a sausage, but they could sell the sizzle. And that's the dream of nostalgia. It's the easiest marketing rebrand they could ever do, and it wouldn't cost a great deal of money. And they've got goodwill. Are they missing the obvious? And that is what I mean. Are you missing the obvious? What in your business would be easy to do? And are you, in your business with your brand and your marketing, are you just selling the sausage or are you selling the sizzle? And this is a very valuable point for any person who's selling a product or of any type. Are you missing the obvious? So very often you see these, we used to interview people for our sales floors, and they'd come in and we'd go, right, sell us the pen and all that crap. Sell us this Coca-Cola. And you get some go, oh, it's a lovely shaped bottle and it's a refreshing drink and it's from America. And I'm like, and what they're doing is they're just telling us what it is, and telling isn't selling. The smart ones would go, you thirsty? Not right now. Well, you get thirsty in the next couple of hours, you reckon? Yeah. There you go. Invest in it now, save your time later on. How's that? That's smart. They're selling the idea, the sizzle. They're selling the fact that I might get thirsty and this would fulfill that need. That was always the question. Whenever you get asked that question, if you ever get asked that question in a pitch of any type, sell me this pen. You know, sell me this pen one is better. They go, oh, can I get your autograph? Here's a bit of paper. You know, whatever. It's always trying to get them to relate it to a scenario, and that's the sizzle. So, you know, on that, are you, when you're promoting your product on Facebook, when you're promoting your product in any way, when you're promoting a product in a shop in your face-to-face retail, are you just telling them it about the product, or are you selling the sizzle? So how do we apply this in retail? When people come in and they want to quit smoking, we say to them, look, here's a vape kit. That's terrible. What we do instead is we go, how many cigarettes a day do you smoke? How much are you spending roughly per week, if you don't mind me asking? Right, okay, fine. And then from that, we would gauge the right product to then recommend on the basis of that, and then we would tell them at the end of it, so for example, say they spend £80 a week on cigarettes. We go, okay then, fine. So, or how many a day do you smoke? 20 a day. Okay, right, fine. So you're spending about £80 a week in truth, aren't you, really? You know, maybe 60 quid if you know someone who gets around the back. Yeah, okay, fine. So if I can recommend you a product with enough e-liquid in it to last you a month, that's going to cost you the same price as what you spend a week on cigarettes, but it's going to cover you for a month, then that's not a bad deal, is it? And so then I go, right, you know, or I'd recommend the product, or you'd get the buy-in straight away. Very often people sometimes come into our shops and go, oh, you know, £40, £50 for a vape kit's a lot of money. No, because that kit's going to last you for a year. And you spend, you know, one quarter of that kit's cost every single day on a box of 20 cigarettes. So again, we don't just tell them about, here's a vape kit, this one does these buttons, got this buttons, got this buttons. We go, look, what are your needs? And that is what sizzle plays to. Are you missing the obvious? So I've gone on a big loop here, but Wimpy. Another great example of are you missing the obvious? BHS, British Home Stores. I would go there once a year because it was a guaranteed spot to get something very bland and average from, average, that's a bit harsh, something that suited my parents' needs for Christmas. So I'd go there, my mother and father, and I'd go at Christmas and I'd go and buy them some things. They're useful for a white shirt, if you need a white shirt, it wasn't overly priced. But now we've got this revival of, you know, buy British, buy domestic, buy locally sourced, lower carbon footprint because it's made in the UK. Avocados, it's the love fruit of the burgeoning bourgeois, vegan, hugger monkey, whatever. But an avocado, while it may not involve the death of a chicken or any other product to produce, and it's, you know, vegans and veggies love them. My wife like, oh, I'm doing wrong, I like them as well. Has to travel huge distances. It's incredibly environmentally unfriendly to get it to your plate in England or in Shoreditch. And we've got to start thinking about these things as well. Is, you know, what's the impact on our environment from the food that we get? Could we get a similar? Could we find or could we grow a nice product domestically that could fulfil that gap in the market, but doesn't require being travelled all across the world and causing an unsustainable farming in otherwise good environments for other products? I don't know. It's just a good. I mean, I'm not an avocado expert, but I'm just raising that point. So, what could British Home Stores have done? They could have played to that whole domestically sourced, you know, Scottish wool, you know, all these things, creating their own brands of whiskey in Scotland. There's so many things they could have done and developed domestic products, and they could have developed their brand as being the very best of British engineering, expertise, industry, artisans, and really focus on those. Focus on some up-and-coming artists to develop in some of their homeware section. Some great, you know, meals for certain foods and products. They didn't. They were just a cheap shop. They were just a cheap Marks and Spencers. They didn't have a defining point, but they weren't the cheapest clothes shop, because you could probably go to like Peacocks or Primark and get your things. Primark is fast fashion. BHS didn't. They wouldn't say they were cheap, and that's their problem. There's nothing wrong with like Primark, for example. Everyone knows that they're fast fashion. They were cheap products, but they'd last a couple of washes, maybe one wash sometimes before it falls apart. BHS didn't want to say that they were cheap, but they didn't want to say that they were affordable. So there was, again, no discernible name, but they missed an open goal. BHS should have been the very best of British-made products. And for that, they would have recreated their identity. It was an open goal that was completely and utterly missed. And that's a real shame. And there was a point, actually, when they were in liquidation, they were looking to sell off some of their shops, maybe as individual, kind of almost like franchises, to the point that we even spoke to the administrators about one in an area not too far from us, because I thought it'd be really good to build build a store like that. Then it got taken back, and nothing went with that. But that to me was an obviously missed opportunity. So there you go. You've got British Home Stores. That makes sense. Are you missing the obvious? So have a look at your brand. When you look at what your brand's message, and every brand should have a message. We have them. We put them on clipboards and we put them in our shops so our team can see them and our customers can see them. And we try and do things that meet those points. So we don't just say it, we do it. So we believe in focusing on customer experience as the first and foremost thing that we do in our business, which is why we're bringing our loyalty card system offline to online as well. So it's omni-channel, which means one channel, one system, all integrated. And that means people can now finally be able to use their points offline, online, without having to get another loyalty account, having extra email sent around. It's all nice and convenient for them. Does that make sense? So focus on customer experience. Our web chat, we don't use bots. We don't use people based in some random country who's got no idea about our products, because that's not customer friendly. That means we have to pay someone to be on that all the time. But you know what? That wins us business. Customer focusing is very important. So we espouse our brand. We do what our brand says. What does your brand do? Are you selling the sausage or are you selling the sizzle? That's my podcast. This is a Sunday. Have a wicked day. Are you missing the obvious? If you found this useful, do us a solid. Share it on to someone today. Chuck us a review on the podcast platform you're listening to. And just keep podding along.
Thanks for listening to today's show. Check us out online, themobshow.com. Check us on Twitter, the_mobshow. Always chucking out bits of advice there. And follow our journey of setting up a CBD shop in the cannabis space. Instagram @localCBDshop. Or you can find ourselves on Instagram, the_mobshow.